Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us today. What a crazy night of college basketball last night. Nothing real crazy with the Indiana game. The Hoosiers get a victory as expected, as needed, as this team moves along in its month of November to get prepared for a very tough December and obviously much bigger opponents coming down the line. Even a little bit later this month, the schedule ramps up a little bit for IU basketball, but Kentucky loses at home to Evansville, which is always great to see an in-state team do something big. And, of course, the Aces, not far down the road. They've got lots of area players, including a big transfer from Kansas that was a big part of that victory last night. But nonetheless, Evansville, a winner down at Rupp Arena, something that I don't think we thought we would be saying today. Maybe that they would battle and play close, but to come out with a victory is obviously amazing. That has just sparked headlines across the country and, of course, lots of trolling of UK fans, which I'm sure that many IU fans are enjoying seeing that go down on the social networks. Also last night, Sean East of New Albany. I just mentioned earlier in the week what a great start to his college career at UMass that he's had. He earned a starting spot. He had double figures in the first regular season game for UMass, and he had another big game last night, but he actually was the number one play on ESPN's SportsCenter top 10 because he had essentially what I call a three-quarter court shot. He released it, I think, almost at the opposite free throw line, and the shot went in right at the halftime buzzer. He basically kind of nonchalantly caught an inbounds pass, going full court, let it bounce a time or two, and then heaved it toward the basket, and it went in, and he kind of celebrated by running not just off the court but all the way into the locker room. And that play has been circulated on social media. Again, it was on ESPN, on number one in the top 10 last night. So good to see a local kid. And we'll talk more about Sean East coming up here in just a minute. I'm going to talk more about last night and about Sean in general. But good to see a local kid get national attention like that. Obviously, the attention is on the shot, but he is off to a really good start at UMass, earning a starting spot and scoring double figures again last night. And, of course, the shot is just kind of really icing on the cake as UMass got a big win at home. But crazy night of college basketball. College hoops is back. It's so fun to turn on most nights and have some good games. I think that actually tonight there's some interesting games on as well, not really from a Big Ten perspective or with IU or anything, but just about every day, just about every night, some big games, some interesting games. Definitely college basketball is back, and last night was one of those nights that just makes you scratch your head with some crazy scores and UK getting beat at home by Evansville and Sean East shot. Just a lot of stuff going on out there. Welcome into the Hoosier Report. It's presented each day by CC Power Sports. Let's take a look at today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a few moments. We're going to recap last night's IU victory over North Alabama. We'll have more on Sean East. We'll also kind of highlight some other local players that are finding some success at the college ranks as well. Segment two today, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is with us. Dustin has had the chance recently to see Indiana in person, Purdue in person, Butler in person last night. He did watch the Indiana game on a delayed basis, so we'll obviously recap and talk about some of the storylines out of the IU game, but I'm curious Dustin's thoughts on some of the other in-state teams as well. We're even going to touch on the Evansville victory last night, with Dustin when he joins us in segment two today. Later in the program, Craig Pearson, News and Tribune sports editor. He's with me as we talk local sports headlines. That segment is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. And there's a lot to get to with Craig. In fact, today we're going to announce a new little feature that we're going to have on this radio program for the next few Wednesdays starting next week. And it's also kind of tie-in with the News and Tribune. It will be in the paper as well and also on their website. We'll recap that for you. We'll tell you more about that coming up when Craig is with me. But a lot to get to with Craig. We're going to talk about some of the local players that I'm going to highlight here in just a moment that are having some really nice starts to their college careers. We'll talk about girls basketball that's underway. Craig and his team have been getting out to a lot of the boys' practices as well to get their preview material ready for that season, which is started essentially. Some teams' scrimmages as soon as this weekend. So we'll talk some boys' basketball as well. We can't forget the Highlanders in football. Floyd Central is going to play in a one-game regional championship Friday. We'll have that for you here on the Big X. And I think Floyd Central has a chance, a good chance in that game, and we'll preview that game some with Craig when he joins us a little bit later in the program. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that'll be made to order for you. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love for you to submit a comment, a question. Maybe it's about Indiana's win. Maybe you want to make a comment about Evansville upsetting Kentucky at home last night. Maybe you've got a question for one of our guests. A couple ways you can connect with us, interact with us on Twitter. You can follow me at Hoosier Hills. Again, at Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me a question. You can DM me a question or comment. Facebook, we have a page for the show, The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You can just type that in the search bar, click like, and then you can send us a message on there as well. Send us a comment, a question. It might get read on the air, might get used in today's show. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Headline one, we start with IU's win last night, 91-65 over North Alabama. Final score looks good. Second half looked good. First half, not so much. That's where there were, again, concerns, I thought, about Indiana's defensive intensity. Seemed to be a lot of guys open for a team like North Alabama, who we talked a lot about yesterday, previewing the game, that really had offensive woes and struggles last season. Seemed to be guys on rotations getting open shots. In fact, I think they hit their first 6 of 7 or 7 of 8, one of the two, three-pointers last night in the game, which allowed them to score, was a big point of them scoring 40 first-half points against Indiana. That's not good in any regards defensively. The good news for Indiana is it got a lot better, I thought, in the second half. And again, you're not talking about Princeton, who is coming up very soon for this Indiana team. You're definitely not talking about a Big Ten ACC challenge opponent or a Big Ten game that's coming up in December. We're talking about North Alabama, a team that is transitioning right now, early in their transition period to Division I. In fact, not even eligible to play in the Big Dance right this moment. So definitely concerns about defense. That continues. Again, I want to see Indiana against a more quality team, and then we can, I think, judge it seriously from that point forward. But it got better in the second half. Trace Jackson Davis, his best game as a Hoosier. I have a feeling that I'm going to say that a couple more times at least this season. 20 points, 3 of 4 shooting, and a really impressive 14 of 15 from the free throw line for the big man. He had 8 rebounds, 3 blocks, and he put that very good stat line together in 22 minutes of playing time. Obviously, he is coming along. I cannot wait to see Trace Jackson Davis as the schedule ramps up a tad in later November with Princeton and others coming to town. But I cannot wait to see him. And there's going to be some struggle moments. I'm not saying it's going to be 20 points and great shooting against Big Ten teams or against some of the December schedule, but I can't wait to see him play that level of competition, because I think he will take his game up a level like he did last night, even though it was against North Alabama. And I think he is just loaded with potential, with length, with height. He's got a good touch to him. So many things I think that are exciting about Trace Jackson Davis and his future as a Hoosier, and I really think his future as an NBA player, to be quite honest. I just don't know what point that happens. Is he there a couple of years? Is he there 4 years? But he's got just loads of potential, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun watching him find his way this season. Really like what I've seen from him, even in these early November games against lower-level competition. Outside of Trace's big performance last night, really a very, very balanced performance, especially offensively. All 10 players on scholarship scored in some form or fashion last night. A handful of double-figure scores, a number of guys with a couple baskets. And I thought Jerome Hunter getting absolutely what he needs, and it's going well for him. It started a little slow. He's got more and more minutes each game. I think he had, 13 minutes in the first game or the exhibition game, I forget. Then it seems like it went to 15-something. Last night he played 20 minutes and he had 12 points. Much better offensively was Jerome Hunter last night. And again, I truly don't care if he had scored 2 points last night, to be quite honest. The fact that his minutes are slowly going up and the fact that he is looking more and more comfortable in there, and I obviously throw in the fact that he scored 12 points, really good news for him, really good news for Indiana. I can't see him, as we've seen, three games now, I can't see him not being a big, big, big part of this team if all continues to go the way it is and if he continues to slowly add minutes in this month of November and into December. Look, I have no idea what's going to happen with this Indiana team. There are moments when I think, you know what, they're going to do better than some of the projections, and there are other moments when I think about defensive concerns and other areas that pop up where you wonder, will this team be a legitimate contender in the conference and to get in the NCAA tournament? But I do think that there is a good chance we look back on November coming up in maybe January, mid-January, and think what a good month it was for this team to figure some things out with newcomers and with Jerome Hunter and obviously injuries that I don't think anyone expected with some of the returners like Devontae Green and Rob Vennessy. This month, even though the opponents, and it's going to get a little better, I keep saying that, it's going to get a little better as the month goes along, even though these opponents aren't any real tough challenges necessarily, I think we're going to look back at this. I think we already know this is what this team needed to start the season. But last night, a lot of balance. Jerome Hunter, a positive, and another positive. Indiana, 37 of 45 from the free throw line as a team. As soon as the game's over, I look at the box score, I look at turnovers, I look at free throws. There are some general things that with IU basketball, if you're a hardcore fan or if you're somebody that covers the team, you really follow. And obviously free throws and turnovers, one or a couple categories that I think we've just learned to pay attention to very closely. In the post-game press conference last night, Archie Miller mentioned Devontae Green. And again, just based on what I've heard, based on what he said last night, it seems, keyword there is seems, to be somewhat reasonable that he's going to return soon. I don't know if that's the next game or if it's later down the line in November, but any concern of a hamstring injury, which those are touch and go. There are good days and bad days with those, although he's obviously up and walking around and moving, it looks like, pretty freely and pretty normally if you see him at the games. It does look like his return is somewhat imminent. There was no commitment or no promise, and of course, we've learned to not expect anything like that when it comes to those details. But it does look like he's going to return as well. Archie also mentioned last night that Rob Vennessy was what he called a, quote, full go in practice. So it looks like he's getting closer and closer to full health, which is going to be another good thing, I think, offensively but also defensively for this Indiana team when both of those guys, Devontae Green back and at full health, and Rob Vennessy somewhat back now but at full health, are ready to go for this Indiana team. Another headline, Sean East. I want to mention him last night. We talked about his amazing shot to end the first half for UMass. They were actually down when he made the three-quarter court shot, so it gave him the boost ahead, and I don't know that they ever trailed after that. In fact, they played pretty good in the second half. Sean had 17 points last night, logged 34 minutes of play. He had 7 assists last night as UMass beat Northeastern. UMass is now 3-0 on the year. I tell you what, Sean East, it's amazing to me, and I think Jim Shannon would be the first to tell you, but I can remember many, many days at New Albany after practice when Romeo Langford, Sean East, and the year that Isaac Hibbard was there, which was a year, obviously, he graduated before Romeo and Sean, those guys would spend tons of extra time in the gym after practice. And they would attract other players at times, and sometime it might just be those three. But on a regular basis, Romeo and Sean and Isaac would shoot those kind of shots, those full-court shots, three-quarter court shots, half-court shots. And, again, it's really part of the game. You don't necessarily think about it. I think when you think about preparing for the weekend's games or whatever the case may be, but so many last-second shot scenarios, whether it be a deep three-pointer, whether it be a shot from the volleyball line, half-court, or even farther. And if you think back over the years, Romeo hit some deep shots. In fact, he hit at least a three-quarter court shot. I think it was against Indianapolis Pike one year. But those kids, that was fun to them. That was a release after practice and maybe a bit of a reprieve. Maybe they would shoot some of those crazy heaves after practice for a while, have a contest among themselves, and then get back to working on other fundamentals and more regular things that you work on in basketball. But when I saw that clip, I was actually watching Hanover last night, which has a lot of Southern Indiana guys on the team. They played over at Spalding. Saw the clip on my phone of Sean shot. Not surprised at all. I've seen him hit a lot of those in practice. And, of course, we've seen Romeo hit some in games. But those guys, they shot those kind of shots all the time after practice in the doghouse at New Albany. That said as well, we see on a day where everybody's excited about Evansville, and you're proud, I think, of course, Indiana fans especially happy, but I am proud any time a mid-major team in Indiana has success. I was just thrilled for Butler, and of course, they really have come into another level of college hoops, you could say, since their great runs in the NCAA tournament there for a couple years. But I'm always proud of mid-major teams. You get to know a lot of the coaches, a lot of the assistant coaches out recruiting, and they're in-state teams with a lot of in-state players. A lot of local players go on to play mid-major level or small, low-level Division I basketball, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's very competitive. All the conferences here in the Midwest that they compete in are very good. But my point is this. On a day that everybody is thrilled to death for Evansville, and it's an unbelievable win for them, especially to come at Rupp Arena, especially when you factor in that Coach McCarty, a former Wildcat, wins on his home floor, I'm disappointed in some Indiana mid-major schools, and I think a lot of other people should be or maybe have said this along the way. How does Sean East get away from all of the good mid-major programs in the state of Indiana? It's really unbelievable, and I know that Coach Shannon was out there pushing him. I know that Sean had performances where obviously the coaches would take notice. He had Romeo Langford, for God's sakes, on his team. So high major coaches, mid-major coaches, everybody paying attention to things. How does Sean East get away from the state of Indiana or get away from really the Midwest in a really good mid-major situation? It's hard to see him at an Evansville or at an Indiana State or at a Ball State or at a Valpo, or the list continues of a team that's solid, that's going to have the opportunity to compete and win their conference and get into the NCAA tournament, but instead he's playing at UMass, who obviously I know he went to prep school out on the East Coast. I know that opened up a whole nother realm for him as far as getting seen by schools outside maybe of just the Midwest. But I know Sean seems to be having fun, earned a starting spot, full court shot last night, double figures in the last two games, lots of things going well for him, so I'm happy that he's at UMass. But from an Indiana perspective, as a guy that likes to see our local kids stay close, stay in state, stay in the Midwest, with all of the good mid-major programs we have, I just keep asking myself as I see Sean have great performances, how in the world did he get out of the state of Indiana? And I know a lot of you guys feel the same way because I've heard it time and time again. Also, speaking of Sean East, I want to spend a moment talking about some other local players in college. I mentioned Isaac Hibbard at Hanover last night, logged 39 minutes. He's a junior now at Hanover. He has added so much to his game at the college level. He had 11 points last night, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. Hanover came from behind to win by 10 points at Spalding last night. And again, Isaac is just a terrific player at that level. He'll do and he's already done, and he'll continue to do even more his last two seasons at Hanover. Big things for them at that level of college basketball. Also, Luke Goleman is at Marion University. Luke obviously was a standout at Floyd Central. He logged 15 minutes and had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, as Marion was victorious in a big way, 121-62 over Simmons College in Louisville. So he's getting some clock in a game like that, and he's somebody as well that could have a tremendous career playing for Coach Hetty at Marion. Speaking of local guys in colleges, tonight the University of Louisville, they host Indiana State tonight. And, of course, Coach Lansing is big on in-state guys, lots of Indiana guys on his roster, as you would expect. Kobe Barnes and Bronson Kessinger, Kobe from Floyd Central. Bronson now an upperclassman from Cordon. They will play tonight at the Yum Center against Louisville. So some exciting things going on for players from this area, not to mention Romeo back with the Celtics and hoping to get some clock and work into some sort of role there soon with the Boston team. But definitely some good things going on for our local players, and it's just awesome to see as we get into college hoops. And it seems like each and every year we can add a couple from our almost immediate area to the mix in college basketball. And the good thing is, as you look ahead at the high school season, that this is going to continue. There are some really good seniors. I think Trey Coleman is going to make a college decision soon, and we'll have more on that coming up. But he's going to be added to the mix. Jacob Jones is already committed to play college hoops at the D1 level, and there will be others, D1 and beyond, and that is just tremendous for the area. So I wanted to give some of those guys a shout-out, but no question about it, some local guys doing big stuff right now, and it is so fun to watch. In addition to IU, in addition to other local teams, in addition to high school stuff that gets going, it just adds a lot to this time of year, being able to follow guys from our area who are having some success elsewhere. Final reminder for you as we close out the first segment, our 2019-2020 season Clark Floyd County High School Basketball Media Day is Thursday night at Zaxby's in New Albany. We would love to have you with us. It's a 3-hour show starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. It's basically a marathon-type show. We're going to have all 12 schools from Clark and Floyd counties featured. We'll talk with every head coach from the area. We'll talk with all of the top players as well. Each coach is going to bring at least 2 players with them to Zaxby's. We'll be at Zaxby's in New Albany. It's on it's 2870 Technology Avenue. It's basically the intersection of Charlestown Road and I-265. Love to have you with us. Come out, grab dinner, listen to the show, look at the schedule. I've got it on social media. If you want to come on your favorite school or schools is being interviewed and support them, that would be great. But always fun, and what a way to get ready for the season and not only talk to a great group of coaches, but talk to a fantastic senior class and upperclassmen of players right now that are moving through our area. It's going to be a lot of fun Thursday night. If you can't make it, we'll be live on the Big X, 1450-96.1, streaming at BigXSportsRadio.com. Lots of ways you can listen, but we'd love to have you out there Thursday night to support us at Zaxby's, and it'll be a fun evening. We'll also have a podcast available so you can go back and listen if you can't join us for all 3 hours. That's segment one in our Zaxby's headlines brought to you each day here on the program. Zaxby's, you can try the Southern TLC filet sandwich, a buttermilk marinated chicken breast filet served with lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise. Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic will talk IU and more, and then Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune to talk some local headlines presented by Major League Shirt Company. That all comes your way. This is a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. It's the Hoosier Report presented by CC Power Sports. I'm joined, as always, on Wednesdays by Dustin Dolpirak of The Athletic. And we're going to talk lots about IU basketball, where things stand after their victory last night here in this month of November. Of course, Dustin covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic. And Dustin, if it's okay with you, maybe we should add Evansville to that list of Indiana schools after their big, big win down in Lexington last night, which obviously has created a national headline across college basketball. Wow.
Yeah. My God. I mean, it was interesting. I talked to Benny Seltzer, he's an assistant there who used to be on Tom Crean's staff.
Sure.
I talked to him about a month ago when I was working on my Victor Oladipo piece, just to, you know, kind of do his oral history, and, you know, just got to talking to Benny afterwards, and he was just talking about how excited he was. I mean, I don't think he saw anything like this coming, but definitely said he felt like Walter McCarty really had it going. And I heard just general good things about what's been happening there, but for them to be able to go into Rupp and beat Kentucky, that is something else. Now, I mean, I think what it does tell us, though, this is going to be one of those years in college basketball where it's going to be a mess. Like, there is not, I don't think, going to be a dominant team. I mean, this Kentucky group is coming off a win of, you know, over Michigan State, which was, you know, consensus preseason number one when the season started. And, you know, you had four teams at that Champions Classic, you know, that were at the time when the season started, the top four teams in the country, and none of them looked good. You know, and those are some blue bloods there. And I don't know that I necessarily see an emerging team after that. I mean, I think it is going to be one of those years where I think you see the number one team go down a lot. And, you know, everybody's got five, six losses, something like that, going into the NCAA tournament. And it ends up just being, you know, kind of a free-for-all where we're not necessarily going to see a dominant team emerge this year.
You know, that first night, the opening Tuesday of college basketball, I kind of thought this myself. I heard others say it on the radio and just, you know, kind of in passing by conversations that it was great to see Duke and Kansas play each other. And, of course, I was probably more interested in Michigan State for Big Ten reasons and in Kentucky for being close by in that second game of the night. And as fun as that evening always is, and as much as I admire the coaches and those programs for participating in that every year right out of the gate, I did kind of in the evening with the thought that, you know, if these are the top four preseason teams heading in to the early part of the year, I'm not sure how good they are. Not that they won't be really good by tournament time or go on to do some amazing things this year, but just to kind of build up on your point that it could be one of those years in college basketball. And I kind of got that feel, and I think maybe others did, even in that night, the opening night, you could say, of the season, and in the opening week really as well, with some of the other Big Ten results, Big Ten teams losing against mid-majors and even lower at home. Just some crazy things so far this year.
Yeah, and you've seen Wisconsin get beat by St. Mary's. When you haven't seen a ton of stunners, but you've seen a couple handful of close games that were maybe closer than you expected them to be. There's been a lot of that so far where you're looking around and saying, okay, if this is the best team there is, you know, what do you got going on here? And it is definitely with this. I mean, I think like last year, obviously you had such a loaded freshman class going to Duke. And this year you don't necessarily have one team that's got a bunch of those top freshmen, and they're really, I think, spread out. And then also a lot of good seniors, a lot of good upperclassmen, moved on, last year. So I mean, basically there was just, I think, a pretty significant, talent drain in college basketball. And I think it's a situation where, you know, again, out of the, you know, you are starting to see that the kids that are coming in are more spread out in this particular class. I mean, you've got a bunch of kids going to Memphis, but it's Memphis, obviously, and they're really sort of building up from, you know, not being necessarily a power of any sort. I think, you know, I'm really impressed by James Wiseman and some of those other kids, but, you know, they're not in the situation that Duke was in a year ago. And, you know, Kentucky is good, and Kentucky certainly has a really good class of its own. But, you know, obviously you saw that's a team that's going to be flawed as well. You know, Kansas has some experience. I mean, they come out of the gate and turn it over how many times against a Duke team that I think is just okay. Clearly doesn't have as good of a freshman class as it had a year ago, even though it's got some talented kids. It's not nearly at that level. Everybody that reloaded, just doesn't have as much. I mean, North Carolina's got a terrific player in Cole Anthony, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not as loaded once you get past him. Some of the other guys, again, like Anthony Edwards is in Georgia, Washington, I think, looks pretty good with Isaiah Stewart, but I mean, that's a really young team as well. But like everything, so much of the new talent coming in is spread out, and, you know, so much of the sort of established talent, graduated, moved on after last year.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest, talking some college basketball. And I want to get into IU's game last night. I know you were at the Butler game, I think, last night, but still got a chance to catch up on Indiana and their performance and in their win last night over North Alabama. And I guess I want to get maybe some negative points or potentially negative things out of the way before we get to some other maybe good news for Indiana. Is that first half giving up 40 points to North Alabama? I saw lots of open shots. The team was 6 of 7 from three-point range in the first half, or at least to start the game, which was a big part of those 40 points. That defense or the defensive side of things, I think, continues to be. I'm not ready to say it's a huge concern or a real problem for this team, but it's definitely something that you've got to pay attention to as this schedule ramps up a little bit in November later on, coming up here in the future weeks, and then, of course, takes it to a whole nother level in December.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, as Archie Miller continues to say over and over and over again, this team has to be good defensively. It's not a team that's going to be able to get by just being okay on defense, because it is not so good offensively that it's going to be able to overwhelm teams once it starts playing competition at its level. I mean, again, this is not a team that is going to shoot it remarkably well. I mean, they will probably be a better shooting team than they were a year ago, but they're not going to be one of the best teams in the Big Ten at shooting the basketball. And they've got a couple players who can score overall, but I mean, there's not a lot of individual guys. You know, it's not like they've got one of those guards that can go off for 25 on a given day. You know, like Al Durham is okay, and Devontae Green is pretty good, and, you know, Rob Finney looks a lot better, looks a lot healthier, you know, now. But, you know, it's not a team that's got sort of a trump card on offense necessarily that they're going to be able to go to and get 30 points out of if they need to, or be able to go hang 90 on a really good team on a given night. I mean, they're just not built that way. They have length. They have size. That's what they're trying to play to. And, you know, in that case, like, that's where you have to win. You have to be able to swarm, you know, swarm opposing teams. You got to be able to contest shots. You got to be able to create turnovers and get offense going that way. And, you know, obviously in the first half of that one, you don't see a lot of that. Like seven for 10 from three they ended up. You know, Jamari Blackman, I think, was 4 of his first 4. I was at Hinkle, so I'm not seeing this, but I'm just seeing these numbers pop up. It's like, okay, well, what are you guys doing exactly? You know, just got to be able to close out. I mean, I think one thing, I had a friend in coaching pointed this out. I think, you know, that just when they put certain lineups on the floor, they're not that fast. Basically, especially if they put Race Thompson and either Deron Davis or Joey Brunk on the floor together, basically they don't have a ton of speed on the interior. Trace Jackson Davis, when they have him, they're a little bit faster. And obviously, if they move Trace to the five, they become a much, much faster team when they're kind of going, you know, with more wingish types. That allows them to get out and run, you know, and defend a little bit, maybe put a little bit more pressure on the basketball, attack a little bit more that way, so they can play a little bit faster. But they've got to be able to use some of those big lineups as well. So, I mean, sometimes it can put them in a little bit of a disadvantage, which might lead to some of this. And there's a lot of guys who are sort of adjusting. Obviously, Justin Smith is playing more of a three after playing a lot of four last year. But, you know, that was considered one of his big strengths, is the ability to be versatile as a defender. So more or less, just a lot has to go better. I mean, Archie Miller is clearly disappointed, and this is something he keeps bringing up, hey, that defensively we're just not there, and we really have to be there. That if this team has a chance, it's got to be really good defensively. It's got to, again, got to be able to create turnovers, got to be able to get hands and passing, it's got to contest shots. And if it's not doing any of those things, if he's getting scrambled, then it has a chance to go really, really poorly for them.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We're talking IU basketball. The Hoosiers victorious last night over North Alabama. The good news was the second half, I thought, defensively and really all around, was a lot better. Indiana able to put North Alabama away and go on to win by a margin that you would kind of expect at this time of year against that level of opponent. In the second half or in the game, I think some positives to take away are really points that we've spent a lot of time already talking about. Trace Jackson Davis, a great game last night for Indiana, a packed stat line, all positives in a reasonable amount of minutes. I think it was 22 minutes that he played. Also for Indiana, I think you got to be excited about Jerome Hunter, another guy that we've talked a lot about. He's getting more and more minutes, and he is playing into a role, I think, that will eventually be extremely, extremely important and a key player for this team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we've talked about Jerome a bunch and just his offensive skill set and what he's able to do. And it's, obviously, like you said, it could really help him. And I didn't see the shots he hit, but obviously he got, you know, he's got a three-pointer in there. He's got three more buckets otherwise. Guy's just got a lot of length and a lot of things he can do. Truly has, a real old-school inside-outside game. Again, the ability to hit for three, but he can also, you know, he can get to the rim. He's got really good moves around the rim. He can post guys up, you know, all the way down at the block, but you can also post guys up kind of at the mid post or even like the high post or even really outside the paint kind of in between and take guys down and maybe, you know, hit a turnaround jumper off of a post up. So there's a lot of maybe pieces to his game that you don't see with a lot of guys. And that makes a huge difference. I think he's a guy that maybe as good as anybody else is saying, all right, you need to find a bucket somehow, some way, and things aren't coming easy. Who do you want to get the ball to? Who is going to find a way to get a shot? And I think that's Hunter, basically, out of the group you've seen right now. Obviously, Devontae Green, I think it could be that guy as well. But, I mean, as much as anybody else, Hunter is a guy that can get you shots in ways that maybe some other people can't in situations and positions on the floor that they don't have a lot of other guys that can do it that way. So, I mean, the more they can play him, the better. I mean, I think, again, we're still very much in the dark about, his condition, what they're exactly monitoring, you know, what it's going to take for him to extend his minutes a little bit further. So obviously you're still seeing him south of 20. And obviously they'd be in, I think, better shape if they could play him 25, 30 and he could be their guy. But I mean, it's still, if you're getting 15 to 20 out of him, that is something. And, you know, again when he's able to score 12 points in 19 minutes, that makes a big difference. I mean, that's still having a really positive effect. Again, you want more from him long-term, but, you know, especially as he's getting his legs this season, you know, whatever that means in terms of getting used to playing with this condition, or, you know, again, you know, we really don't know what they're monitoring, what they're looking for, what it takes for him to feel confident playing more minutes, but the more they can get out of him, the better.
Talking to Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, it sounds like good news. Devontae Green, no return date or no promise that he would be on the bench or available for the next game, but just based on the time frame, knowing what the injury is, and then some general comments that Archie made last night in postgame, it seems like Devontae is progressing, which would tell you that he could be back at some point soon. And it also sounds like in practice, Rob Phinisee has been much more himself and been practicing at a much higher clip than maybe what he has been. And some of the minutes he's logged as well, not playing to his full potential when you're coming back from a lower abdominal injury. So I think those are two really good notes, potential news for Indiana as they get into the back end of November, where the competition isn't going to just soar to high major level, but it's going to be better than what it has been.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, it's really, really important for those guys to be able to play, and not to disparage what they've got out of Aldorm and Armon Franklin. I think certainly Armon has been really impressed with the way he's taken on some roles that he didn't expect to be taking on at this point. I think Al has played, you know, terrific basketball so far from what I've seen. He seems a lot more confident and really shooting the basketball well, you know, doing a good job of pushing things forward in the offense. So there's a lot to like from what you got out of those two guys. But, you know, Phinisee and Green are their most talented guards still. I mean, I think Phinisee is just so solid, so steady, such a really good defensive player. And, I think, you know, again, really good at being just smart moving the basketball, really good at finishing in the lane. You see it in him as a shooter. He's just got everything you want out of a point guard. So him being healthy goes a long way. And I think you're obviously starting to see him get comfortable with whatever with his lower abdominal issue. That's also a little bit mysterious. But he definitely seems like every time I've seen him, he's a little bit better at dealing with whatever pain there's going to be. It seems like it's something that's going to nag at him for the rest of the year. But once he gets used to it, obviously it's something he can more easily play through and extend his minutes. So that goes a long way. And I continue to think Tennessee is one of the most important parts of the future of this Indiana program. And Devontae Green, again, I think Devontae still just has some things. There are things that he can do that just nobody else that they have can. I mean, he can be a high-volume scorer, high-volume shooter, and, you know, again, as a guy that really I think is as good as anybody that they have of being able to get the ball to the rim from the perimeter. I mean, there's just a lot that he can do off the dribble, a lot of different ways that he can make plays. I think it's good for him this year that he's not going to be handling the ball as much. You know, being more of a two guard seems more natural for him. And they've been very excited about what he's been able to, you know, what he was doing leading up to his injury. They felt like he just really had the right mindset and that there was a lot of things that he'd learned from last year that he could fix. Basically, you know, he would be aggressive in the right way. So I think Indiana just has to be anxious to see what they're going to get out of him. And, you know, I think there's just a lot more scoring potential in him than any of those other guards. So it just makes them a lot better, gives them a lot more firepower. And I think, I mean, they obviously feel good about the idea of having depth. I think one thing Archie Miller keeps saying about this team is that he does believe that there are 11 guys that he feels confident putting on the floor where he did not feel that way a year ago, you know, especially with some of the younger guys. So I think this, again, gives them sort of a full boat of options. Puts Armand Franklin in a more, you know, I think maybe advantageous situation that he doesn't have to play huge minutes and he's not constantly being thrown all the fire all the time. He's certainly going to make an impact, but they'll be able to rely more on Finney and Green to really run that backcourt.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, good stuff, in-depth stuff on Indiana as they head into a little tougher games the rest of the month and, of course, a big schedule in December and from that point forward as well. Dustin, thanks for the chat today. And if somehow Indiana State were to win at Louisville at the Yum Center tonight, we'll know that college basketball has absolutely went off the rails. So
completely off the rails. That's
we'll add
totally
Indiana
insane.
State to your list of schools you're now covering as well. So.
could be. I think I'm going to pitch Evansville off on Daniel Lerner down there in Louisville. But yeah, I think it might get real here in a minute if Indiana State pulls that off.
All right, Dustin. As always, appreciate you, man. Thanks for your time and insight.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. The Hoosier Report is brought to you by CC Power Sports, and we're at that time of year. It's the holidays forthcoming. Every child's dream is a new dirt bike for Christmas at CC Power Sports. They're helping make that dream easier with free Christmas layaway and storage now through Christmas. Simply put down a deposit and pay as you wish until December 21st. CC Power Sports will even store your purchase to keep the dream of Christmas alive and the bike out of sight. You can find more about this at ccpowersports.com. That's ccpowersports.com. We'll head to a quick commercial break. When we return, Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, is in studio with me. It's a local sports chat. We've got lots to talk about. Floyd Central in the football regional, the only football team still alive in the postseason. We've got boys basketball previews, and we've got the introduction of a new feature that is going to start on this segment each Wednesday, at least for the next 3 or 4 weeks, when Craig returns with me in the next segment, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. We'll be back with Craig after this on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Wednesday program. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me. This segment is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, even fully sublimated uniforms. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can find out more at MLShirtCo.com. That's MLShirtCo.com. Craig, you're always with me Wednesdays. There's always plenty to talk about, especially this time of year from a local perspective. But before we get into some of the specific topics and headlines this week, a new feature that we're going to be working on to highlight the top players in Clark and Floyd counties, and we're going to start next Thursday. I'll let you kind of tell a little more about it.
Okay, yeah, we're looking to, you know, we have a lot of basketball prospects in the area, obviously, and I think it's a good idea to kind of, you know, just rank each class and talk about the college prospects and that sort of thing. And you know, I think we're going to start with the freshmen and work our way up each week, and You know, as we get into those seniors, we'll have a few more kids than the freshmen, and look forward to kind of breaking those down and offering some insight on some of those kids and some of the improvements they've been making and that sort of thing.
So next week we'll start on Wednesday with the freshman class. We'll do boys and girls. We'll give you the top players in each class. We're going to rank the top five, which is tough as freshmen until they really prove their worth at the high school level and what type of college prospect and the level they could potentially play as you get a little bit into the season. But we're going to do that. We're going to give some other names in those classes as well, or in that freshman class, to watch that might be outside of the rankings. And then the cool thing is that this will be on social media Wednesday after the program. It's even going to be featured in your sports pages on Thursday. And then we'll continue that format each week. Sophomores the following week, juniors, and then, of course, seniors. And as we go down the line, we'll include more kids, obviously, for the upperclassmen as you get to know them a little better.
Absolutely. I think doing rankings of whatever it is in sports is a fun thing to do. And I think, you see it for college lists for the top whatever 100 players on certain websites and that sort of thing, which – I should mention, as I did last week, we're going to have the top 20 boys basketball players featured in our preview section that comes out Friday, and we're looking forward to unveiling that list as well. So, this is kind of a nice compliment to what we're doing there. And like you said, we'll update them in mid-season as things kind of as we learn a little bit more about some of these kids and see who's really put in the work to get better. And like you said, the freshmen, we're basically taking other people's word for it on some of those for sure. But some of the other older kids, we've obviously seen a little bit of and more of than others. And look forward to, kind of hashing out these rankings.
And obviously, Craig and I both see lots of games and lots of different settings and scenarios. We've asked some other coaches and others involved in the area basketball scene to kind of be somewhat voters or input type people. And again, with the freshmen, we want to give you a list of players that we're excited about their potential for the upcoming season for both the girls and the boys basketball locally here in Clark and Floyd counties, and maybe prospects that you should get out and watch yourself and pay attention to. And so I'm really looking forward to that feature starting. We'll have that next Wednesday on our radio program, next Thursday in the News and Tribune, a little profile on each of the players that's ranked. It's going to be a lot of fun to do this over the next few weeks. Craig, as we move on into some headlines here in this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, Floyd Central Football, of the 8 playing football schools, they are the only one left. Can this Floyd Central team, can they win the regional and beat Bloomington South this Friday night?
They certainly could. I mean, they've got the offense rolling. The defense is really playing well. They didn't allow Jeff to score an offensive touchdown last week, and I think that's kind of been building up there on the defensive side. And I think, Josh Cook will have a little story in on Friday focused a little bit more about that defense and who the key guys are that have helped make that happen. So, it's going to be a very tough team to beat. It's played very well this year, whether in Conference Indiana or here in the postseason. So Bloomington South's going to be a handful, and hopefully Floyd's right there with them at the end and able to pull it out.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, always with me Wednesdays, brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. You and Josh Cook of the News and Tribune both have been out to practices. You've been on the phone with high school coaches as we get ready for the boys' basketball season as far as games to begin here very soon. What are some things that stand out to you? I know we've talked about top teams and top players. Anything you've learned, anything stands out as we get closer to the opening boys' games?
There's some obvious storylines. Silver Creek going after a second straight state title in 3A, and Jeffersonville being a contender for the 4A state title. I'm a little more interested, not necessarily more interested, but some of the more teams that I'm interested in because there's a little bit of unknown, like Floyd Central with Jake Heidbreeder, but they've got some other pieces there, like Grant Goman. How big is he going to be, and who fills in as they lost like 8 seniors from that team? New Albany with Julian Hunter back at full health and a cast of other talented kids, obviously, with Caden Stanton and Tucker Bivin in the backcourt, and senior Trey Horrigan looking to step into a bigger role. And, you know, I think Providence with Ryan Miller taking over, what can they do? I think Clarksville is a talented team, and Coach McEwen's excited to see some big improvement there from their 6-win season. I think there's some, like we talked about, freshman prospects. Rock Creek's got several freshmen. So they're kind of, I don't know if you call it a rebuild, but they're in a youth build. And Borden has got a talented freshman, and Tommy Devine, and a talented sophomore, and Sterling Michael. They've got a nice little core of youth there that they're looking to make some strides. So just a lot of good storylines all around. And like I said, we'll have those in Friday's paper with lots of good photos and history there, and looking forward to that.
To me, Jeffersonville in 4A, Silver Creek in 3A, probably Christian Academy in 1A. They lead the way as far as what to expect this season. But as you mentioned, a whole host of other topics and exciting things out there, players and teams that are going to be a lot of fun to watch. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Craig Pearson, thank you. Don't forget to check us out next week with our new player feature that we're going to be talking more about, starting with the freshman class next week. And I'll be back with you at 11 o'clock tomorrow. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, presented by CC Power Sports.